Welcome back to Travolting.
That's not how it went. Hoping I keep playing.
Hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore.
You didn't do any of this.
Covering.
Welcome back to Travolting.
Welcome back to Travolting. Hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore.
Hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore.
Covering.
Nope.
Eye rollers.
Covering.
Eye rollers.
High rollers.
Enjoy the episode.
Enjoy the episode. Because then it goes into the next bit. You didn't know any of that.
I did not have
that. That was shameful, Jeff. It was shameful.
It's because we do the pre-record now.
Forgot to turn off the other mic. We're off to a great start.
Yeah, I'm sure the audience loved that. Welcome back, folks. A little hiatus from our Bobbin for Robin series to go back to the well once more. because the well, my cuppeth overflow. Just when you thought he was out, he pulled you right back in. Because John Travolta released another movie.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
So it's like the thing about Travolta's new releases, and we talked about this on, you know, Paradise City.
We talked about this on every single movie, like for the last like few. Mobland at least was.
Remember Mobland? But the thing is, like, we never find we know that these movies are being made, like they're percolating, but we never know that they're coming out until like 2 weeks before when a trailer drops on Collider.com. And then I text Stuart and I'm like, Stuart, changing the schedule. We got another Travolta to talk about. And it's always tough. It's a little tough. But, you know, it's nice to go back to our original guy and just see how he's doing. The answer to how he's doing. Stuart, how would you say he's doing?
Poorly.
I would say he's not doing very well.
I went on Travolta.com and I'm going to contact and I'm going to say.
You're going to email him?
Would he like to join our podcast?
What if he says yes?
We have a podcast about Mr. John Travolta's
career.
Filmography. We've covered every single movie Mr. Travolta has been in from 1975's The Devil's Reign all the way to his 2025 recent release of High Rollers.
It's true.
We would love
fucking
to invite Mr. Travolta to appear on our podcast to talk about his career. Our podcast.
Oh my God, you're still going.
Is called Travolting.
Okay. So anyway, this week, thank you for listening to our episode on retrospective of Robin's career last week. Jumping in this week, you know, the last time we had a Travolta was, it was Cash Out 1, which came out in May of 2024. So it's been almost a year since our last Travolta. Aren't we so lucky? But he's back. With the sequel to Cash Out, a movie that was originally entitled Cash Out 2 High Rollers, but they have since Cash Out's, you know, the fact that no one really saw it, or no one really watched it because it's just only on streaming platforms for like a $20 rental. They dropped the Cash Out 2 from the title and just left it as its own thing.
High rollers.
Drop the Cash Out. It's cleaner.
Drop the Cash Out. Drop the Cash Out 2. Make it High Rollers.
Cleaner.
Won't it be confusing that it's a sequel?
Yeah.
No.
Now, back in the old days, we would just do Star Wars and the sequel would be called Empire Strikes Back. You didn't need that Star Wars in the title with colons and numbers and shit. Everybody knows
Captain
Cash.
America.
Everybody knows
Brave
Cash Out.
Brave New World.
Everybody knows Cash Out. So clearly, everyone will know that High Roller is a sequel to Cash Out.
Jeff, Stuart, this movie sucks.
Yeah, it's bad. So it's Stuart pointed out as we rented it, like all these recent Travolta movies, we get together to watch them together.
Yeah.
Because on their release date, they're like in one theater in like Nebraska, but also they go on the streaming platforms for a $20 rental.
Yes.
Stuart and I usually just get together and watch it together.
Yes.
Because we don't want to spend $40 on this movie.
Right.
However, at Stuart's apartment today, we rented the movie And then quickly realized it was only $7 because I guess Travolta can't even pull the $20 rental anymore. What are you looking for?
The tissue box. Oh, that's right.
It's right here.
My nose is a little runny.
I guess Travolta can't even pull the $20 rental anymore.
He can't.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
But
oh, how the mighty have fallen.
How the mighty have fallen. But this is just bad.
It's the worst.
The thing about Cash Out 1, which was bad, was that, Sir, do you remember how funny we found Cash Out 1? Because it's a heist movie where, like, they break into a bank.
And then they get
everything goes
in.
Right. They're very polite to the hostages, and the cops treat them fairly, and then they get away with it.
Yeah.
It's just like a movie about, like, nothing. There's no conflict, really.
Yeah.
This movie, there's conflict, but, like, it's, like, boring.
I couldn't keep track of what was happening in the movie.
So here's
very quickly,
this is a movie designed to not be watched.
Yes.
Like, we were not paying attention to this movie.
Yeah.
And yet, I understood what happened in this movie.
You better not have the fucking Wikipedia.
I don't. You know why? Because I bet you if I go to the Wikipedia, there isn't one.
There probably isn't. No.
I'm looking up High Rollers 2025.
If there's a Wikipedia.
Okay, there is a Wikipedia, but there's no synopsis. There's no synopsis.
There's a Wikipedia page for this movie already? Yes. You've got to be joking.
Yes. Aren't we lucky?
The film was released March 14th, 2025. We're recording this March 16th. We probably are the first people to ever watch it.
No, there's a guy on Letterboxd who said, if you understand this movie, you should kill yourself. He watched it first.
Yeah.
So, anyway. High Rollers, it's the follow-up to Cash Out. As we learned during the Cash Out episode, that movie was directed by Randall Emmett. And it starred...
Who's Randall Emmett?
Randall Emmett. He's just a director who does a lot of like Letterboxd schlock or Redbox schlock.
Yeah.
Starring John Travolta as Mason Goddard. And then it starred Lucas Haas as his brother Sean and Kristen Davis as Amelia, who was Travolta's ex-wife turned FBI agent.
Yeah.
That movie was... we talked about it a little bit. There was allegations of essentially like impropriety against the director, Randall Emmett, who seemingly like was not very good, not a very good man. And as a result, he left production because they shot the two of them together, basically. And he was kind of forced away from the production, which is why the second one, he's not credited. It's credited to Ives, which I guess is his like, Alan Smithy name. And also Christy Davis elected not to come back even though they were shot so close in sequence to each other. She's recast with Gina Gershon. The rest of the cast all returns though. But Gina Gershon is now playing Amelia Decker, Travolta's ex-turned new wife.
I just want to read something from Randall Emmett's Wikipedia. Yes. Emmett has credits in 110 films. Most of them are so bad that the platform Vulture stated that they deserve a category of their own. That category is the geezer teaser.
Yes.
Films notable for spending the vast majority of their budget for a day or two of work from aged action stars and then advertising the film as starring said star in foreign markets before the film is even made, cashing in on investor funds to churn out low quality, quote, bleak, quote, films. Oftentimes the advertised, quote, star of a geezer teaser are only in the film for upwards of 10 minutes being compared to the low quality Canon Group films. Vulture also described Emmett as, quote, Hollywood's worst filmmaker, unquote, for besides the poor quality of his films, his efforts to cut out union employees at every turn from script writers to stunt doubles while filming wherever the tax credit is the highest.
Oh, bro.
Yeah, this guy sucks.
This guy stinks.
Yeah, this guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah, this guy's actively deserves.
Look at his face. You see his face on Wikipedia. Looks like a schlub.
He looks like a guy who has an Instagram account where he talks about hustle culture.
It looks like a guy who talks about toxic femininity.
Yes. Anyway, he directed this movie.
he directed this movie. We watched it. We gave it money.
We did give it money.
I feel dirty.
So that you don't have to.
I should take a shower.
We should go get a shower.
Wait a minute. Did you just say we should take a shower?
Yeah, we should go get a shower.
Together?
No, but just like...
What?
Wait, you can rotate.
Why male model?
You can rotate. And right. Anyway. So
I'm not going to talk about the plot of this movie.
We're going to go through the plot.
What plot?
No, because I can
what
do this.
Plot?
It's crazy.
There's no plot.
It's crazy how quick I can talk about this. Okay. The plot of this movie. I can summarize.
You have to get to a movie in 45 minutes.
I do have to get to a movie in 45 minutes. We're going to fucking nail this shit.
Movie you're watching, by the way.
I'm going to go see the Looney Tunes movie.
Good.
The Day the Earth Blew
Brendan
Up.
Fraser?
No, the one, The Day the Earth Blew Up, the new one.
Oh, okay.
The one that was sold by Warner Brothers for money that they sold to Ketchup Entertainment.
Ketchup Entertainment.
Ketchup Entertainment, yes. As we know. Well known. So, this movie is written by Chris Sivertson, who did not write Cash Out 1. I don't know why he's writing Cash Out 2. Mm-hmm. It opens following the first one. Favorite team member Link is getting married on the beach. Stuart, we all remember Link from the first movie.
We do.
Everybody does.
We do.
Yeah. Favorite character, Nua. She's going to be in Super Smash Brothers next year. She's getting married on a beach when suddenly some helicopters roll up, and the whole team, Travolta, Gershon, Haas, Quavo, make a run for it.
Mm-hmm.
Gershon is taken by the men in the helicopter. Travolta chases her. The SUV is carrying her down the highway. I don't know why they didn't get back in the helicopter.
Oh, dude. Ketchup Entertainment is the same production company that made Standoff with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, Ketchup Entertainment makes a lot. It's like an upstart company right now.
Sorry, continue.
Doing a lot of random stuff.
Yeah.
I just like that they're called Ketchup Entertainment. It's a little funny.
Good.
But Charles is chasing after Gershon, but he flips his car. And they get away with her. Who kidnapped her? It turns out it's our old friend, our old foe, Salazar. Who was the shadowy villain in the first movie. But who we never saw.
Mm-hmm.
Travolta gets a call from him and is told, you are going to get the money back that you stole from me in Seattle in the first movie. Cash out.
Keep going. Don't.
What is this?
Just keep going.
It's Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. You're playing Ketchup. Is this the Ketchup song?
Just keep going.
It's the hot dog song. I got diggity dog. Okay, whatever. Anyway, Disney's about to order a drone strike on us for copyright infringement right now.
Good.
Goofy. Oh, gosh. As he fires the missile at us.
They said there were no innocent civilians in the launch.
They said there were no innocent civilians.
Gosh.
Anyway. So. Oh, my God. It must stop.
It's on a 10-hour loop.
So. Travolta and his folks they're told to meet. They're going to this hotel where they're being tailed by the FBI.
I'm done.
But they're told to meet Salazar's men out front.
Mm-hmm.
And so they take an elevator to the roof of the hotel and then jump off the roof to a swimming pool.
Good.
In the funniest cut of all time, because you can tell they did not actually jump from anywhere of height.
Good.
It's very silly.
Yeah.
But they jump into the pool, they get into Salazar's SUVs and take off to do the special task he has for them.
Yeah.
So what is the task that he has for them?
I don't know.
Okay. So
I didn't pay attention to this movie, Jeff.
They have to secure $500,000 from $500 million from a casino.
Okay.
Oh my God. So they pull up Travolta and his gang, they go to the casino.
Yes.
Which is filmed at what's the name of that code? It's the Scarlet Pearl
Scarlet
Casino Resort
Pearl.
In Dahlberville, Mississippi. This whole movie is filmed on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
You're cheating! You said you could.
What? This is not the plot. I'm reading the fucking casino they filmed.
Pizza.
Your pizza's here.
Keep going. Right. Hello.
Is it? Is your pizza here?
Oh, the order has just left the store and should be arriving soon.
Right, very good.
Why would they call me to let me know it's left the store? Call me when it's here.
They do that sometimes.
Interesting.
But anyway, so we're going to beat the pizza, I think, for this episode. We should try and beat it.
It's on its way.
Yeah, I think we can beat it.
It's the Fullerton Domino's, close to where I live.
Okay, yeah, it's kind of close. Anyway, so Travolta, he shows up and they come up with a plan to rip off this casino. Basically that there's a safe that has all the cash and crypto and shit in it.
There's two safes.
No, they find out there's two safes later.
Got it.
At the beginning, there's one safe. Travolta is going to pose as an arms dealer.
They have two gloves.
Not yet. Not yet. Travolta's going to pose as an arms dealer and essentially rack up a big pot at a high stakes
poker
game.
There's a poker game.
He's a high roller. So that the casino has to have a lot of cash on hand. Or it takes like all the pot and puts it in the safe. And then they rob the safe.
Very good.
That's the idea.
Very good.
However, Travolta is actually very good at the game. Salazar, who is watching this, thinks that the scheme is Travolta's just going to win all the money.
Yeah.
And at this point, Travolta finds out that the owner of the casino is Salazar's brother, Zaid.
Mm-hmm.
You remember this, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So,
of course I remember that.
But while he's in the game, Link and Co. are trying to hack into the room and get into the safe. But they find out there's a safe within a safe.
Mm.
Two safes. Oh, no, they're not safe within a safe. It's two different safes. They have to hit them both at the same time.
Why?
Because like it'll trip an alarm or something.
Oh.
And they have a special lockpicking glove. But the other one is broken. And it's like treated as like, oh, my God, the whole scheme is falling apart. And Troll's like, how long do you need for the second glove? And she says, about an hour. And he's like, all right. And then she makes the other glove and it all works out. It's very strange. But he's getting embroiled in the conspiracies in the casino in the hotel that Salazar's brother might be on to him. He's trying to play up, you know, that he's just a high roller while the team is slowly but surely breaking their way into the safes. You remember this all?
Yeah.
Of course. You're impressed by how much of this I remember, right?
I am.
It's a little impressive.
I'm a little impressed. I was on Instagram Reels the whole time.
Yeah. Just an eternal classic movie. The whole time we're cutting away to Salazar, who has Gina Gershon tied up. And she's like, you're a monster. And he's like, I'm not a monster. Your husband has killed more people than me. I've never actually killed someone. And she's like,
we're not so different, you and I.
Yeah, he's doing that. And she's like, you'd like killing. There's something erotic about it. And it's kind of weird. But we go back to the hotel. They've gotten in the safe. And they find out that there's the flash drive that they were looking for in Seattle in the previous movie is in this safe for some reason. And so they get the flash drive with all the money, as well as the money they were sent there to get for Salazar. But they're found out. Zaid and his cronies lock down the casino. And Travolta is taken by some of them to meet with Zaid in a room.
Oh, I missed that part.
It's very funny. Because he just shoots him. It's like, fine. But then he's brought into another room by some other cronies. And Stuart, this is the part where I insisted that you watch.
Yes.
Because basically what happens is Travolta gets brought into this room.
It's very funny.
And they're like, we've got you surrounded now. And Travolta's like, he hits his like phone. He's just like, turn the lights off. And they turn the lights off. But in order for you to still see the film, it basically looks like they turned like a light off and the room is still pretty well lit. And Travolta's just like walks out of the room. It's so funny. He's like, go plan B, lights off. And then he just like kind of like shuffles his way out the door. And they're all like, where'd he go? I can't see him. It's actually one of the funnier things I've seen in a while.
Joinks.
They're all truly like, where'd he go? I can't see. And this perfectly illuminated room as he's just like shuffling for the door.
I can't see.
You can basically almost hear the... he's like creeping out of the room.
It's so stupid.
But now the whole casino's on high alert. Lucas Haas is getting out with the flash drive.
Lucas Haas is in this movie.
He's all up in this movie.
Yeah.
So all up in it. They're making their way out. A little gunfight ensues. We get the drones back at this point.
The drones are back. Yes.
There's drones at the beginning. You can tell that the entire budget of this movie went to getting drone for 2 days. Right?
Yeah.
Because there's no money in the rest of it. To the extent there's no background extras. You can tell they just filmed in a casino with actual people walking around.
Mm-hmm. It's a geezer teaser.
Geezer teaser.
Such a good name.
It's a great name. But the drones inside are crazy. They're just like whipping around. Like you're getting like you want to vomit. You're so disoriented by it.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's unsettling to say the least.
Not good.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Not good.
But that's basically like we get to that point. Reminder that Zaid is dead. They escape the casino, but no, Salazar's there waiting for them. It was a double cross the whole time.
Yes.
And he's standing there and he's like, we made a deal. You and I, you give me Amelia and I'll give you the money.
Oh.
And he's like,
No, I am going to change the deal. Ooh. Pray I don't offer it any further.
Ooh.
The deal is now, you give me the money, and then you can choose. I either shoot Amelia, or I shoot your brother, Sean.
Oh, no!
And Sorrel's like, no, shoot me instead. He makes the heroic sacrifice. You know, like the Tony Stark music starts playing. As he steps up. He steps up, and Salazar puts the gun. And you think this is the end for our hero, Mason Goddard.
LOL.
Then suddenly, the entire FBI swarms the area.
Yes.
And turns a troll to put in the call to the FBI.
Whoa.
Who he has associations with because of Gina Gershon's past. And they show up and arrest Salazar and thank them for getting them the final evidence they always needed on Salazar in the first place. It's very exciting stuff. And then the FBI lets the team go. And you think, well, they got away with their lives, but they didn't get anything because the FBI seized all the money. When Lucas Huss reels, I have the flash drive that we were looking for in the first film from Seattle, $600 million. And they all party on the tarmac. That was clearly just filmed at John Travolta's private hangar in Florida and not actually at an airport. Yeah, and then the movie ends. Directed
what
by Ives.
What a story, Mark.
Like, are you impressed that I even did all that, right? I mean, I know we just watched this movie, but...
We did just watch it, but I am
it's
impressed.
It's like an anti-watchable... It's like a movie that's like the Ark of the Covenant.
It begs
where like,
you not to
where
look
it's
at
the Ark of the Covenant where you're like, look away, don't stare at a Marion!
It's so egregiously bad. Did you talk about the green screen already?
I did not talk about the green screen yet.
Okay.
Speak on this.
Well, just that they clearly shot this at like a high-rise apartment, penthouse or whatever, yes, for cheap. But they didn't realize, oh, shoot, we actually have to do night scenes. And they realized Mr. Travolta didn't sign up to do night scenes. So what did they do instead? They instead painted the windows green. And then they green screened at night in the background. But it's egregious green screen because you could see like the lines and like 1.1 actor's head fades in and out. I am not lying to you. It looks terrible. It looks like... Like, you know when, like, newscasters accidentally wear green when they're doing the weather reports? It looks like that a little bit. It's really bad.
Yeah. It's actually some of the worst green screen I've ever seen in my life.
And it's 2025.
2025. The year of our Lord.
The year of our Lord.
Like, the guy actually, like, in the shot, he's, like, lit differently. You can see, like, lens flares on him, but not the rest of the shot.
When?
Because he's green screened in.
When do we stop?
When does this stop? The thing about Travolta right now is like we talked about, like, he's in this, like, slop zone.
Has
been for 10 years now.
Yeah.
However, he doesn't really have any slop currently lined up.
Because That's Amore is basically not...
That's Amore, like, is up in the air if it happens. But, like, he doesn't have, like... Any more Moblands, Diehards, Paradise Cities lined up right now?
But like, wasn't That's Amore like something we were actually like kind of looking?
I was
forward
looking forward
to
That's Amore.
It's like that sounds
it's
like
probably it gonna be bad.
Could be a good movie, but it'll probably be bad.
It's almost assuredly gonna be a disaster, but like could have been funny. Because Travolta right now has two movies lined up. One of them being, That's Amore. The other one being called November 1963,
mm-hmm.
Which is a a JFK assassin. You remember that he was previously attached to a different JFK movie?
Yes.
Called Assassination.
Yes.
Are we sure
they didn't just change the title to
it? No, because he was recast in Assassination. Do you know who they recast him with?
Brendan Fraser.
Which means we still have to fucking talk about that movie. Now he signed up for a second JFK assassination movie. He clearly has interest in the subject, which is called November 1963, which is written and funded by the Giancana family, who is a major mob family who is alleged to have associations with the JFK assassination.
Very good.
Sounds incredible. I would like to see.
I just like, when does John stop?
When he's dead. But
is that what it is? Like, because I thought he didn't need the money. But now I'm starting to think maybe he does need the money.
I just want him to get out of the slop zone really bad.
I think getting out of the slop zone is cease and desist making movies.
Cease and desist.
I think that's what getting out of the slop zone means for him now.
I just want him to get a good movie.
No! That is gone. Pathway is gone.
I don't know.
Listen, the ring is in the river and it will be in that river for thousands of years.
Yeah.
There will be no Gollum retrieving that ring.
Retrieving that ring.
That ring is gone. All right? And guess what? It was a good ring while we had it.
Slop,
but it's in the dusty, muddy waters of this fucking river.
What if he gets like an Oscar nomination in 3 years? Wouldn't that be crazy?
That it won't happen.
It won't, but what if it did?
Because he has 10 years of slop. People won't believe it's a good role, even if it is a good role.
He's in the slop zone.
I have nothing to add. Just that, like, I am so sick and tired
of having to cover these movies,
covering fucking John Travolta movie, an actor who's so clearly given up. Like, he is just, he said, you know what? Like, I've made my good movies. I'm done now. I'm ready to just make dog shit after dog shit for just a paycheck for my fucking private jet lineup. So many movies can keep shooting on my tarmac for free. And he gets to like show up and do like 5 days of filming and then just, I don't know, beat another Christmas ad again. Like, what are we doing?
The joy.
He doesn't care. We shouldn't care. No one should care.
The joy of these episodes.
I'm so tired.
I basically drive Stuart into a depressed stupor once a year.
Brendan Fraser won an Oscar a year ago, okay? Like, he's still got something. Winona Ryder, like, there's room. There's wiggle room for her. There's no wiggle room for John fucking Travolta.
He's cooked.
He's done. He's washed up. He is over. I am so tired of seeing his fucking face on screen. I am so tired of seeing his face on screen.
Stuart is screaming at a cat right now. Like, just holding a cat in his ear, just screaming at it.
I am just, he is, dis. No, I'm done.
I'm done.
He angers me. He drives me up a fucking wall. Here's the thing. I don't want to say anything bad about him as a human.
I'm just holding up an image of John Travolta's face right now. Stuart is so sick of him.
I don't want to say anything like it's like genuinely hateful for him, because like, listen, he might be a nice person. He might be a good human being. He might be fine. He might be okay. All right. He might be he's probably an amazing dad. He's probably like, you know, gives to charity. I don't know if he actually does. For the amount of planes he owns, I don't think he gives that much charity. Yeah. If you own that many planes. He read an audiobook once, or he wrote a book, and we did an audiobook of. He's made his mark, he's done his thing, and it's like, John, just take us out.
You're done.
I'm done.
Yeah,
my piece is gonna be here soon.
This has not changed any opinions about Travolta within the Travolting family. Unfortunately, he continues to be in the slop zone. But yeah, I think that's about it.
I'm not that sad about it.
Don't watch this movie. I summarized it. Go watch something good. And yeah, I think that's about it for High Rollers. Right?
You're asking me.
Yeah, right?
You're asking me.
Yeah.
We have any more anything shit to come?
We had to watch this. Okay. Anyway, we are trapped.
Help us. Get us the key to our prison.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode.
I went out.
on High Rollers.
Locked in.
We hope you enjoyed it. In a hilarious segue, next week,
we talk about
to listen to our episode on Dead Poets Society, a canonical classic.
A movie we did not already record.
Yeah. That episode comes out next week. Dead Poets Society, back into Robin Williams, entering the second era of his career after our first era ended with Portrait of a White Marriage.
Yeah.
We're talking about Dead Poets Society. Got a lot of fun Robins coming down the pike. We hope you enjoy them. Hopefully no more Travoltas for a little bit. Hoping for a smidge of a break.
Hoping for a long, eternal
I'm
break.
I'm hoping for a break.
No more of this.
Yes. Tune in next week, Dead Poets Society. As always, please remember to rate, review, subscribe, whatever platform you're listening on. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, we're everywhere. Every like, subscribe does help. Please do so. Follow us at Travolting Pod, TravoltingPodcast.gmail.com, r/Travolting on Reddit. Special thanks, as always, to Becca for the graphic design, Michael Van Bodegan Smith for the theme music, a little throwback music today. Have a great week, folks. See you next week for Dead Poets Society.
Fuck White Castle.